Hello, this is Andy and Joel. Welcome to the very first episode of Break It Down. And we're going to be talking about a holistic approach to your marketing. Do you like then, Joel?
Yeah, all good. Ready for our first podcast.
Excellent. Tell me, what in the blue hell does a holistic approach to marketing mean then?
Well, for me, it could be that you want to achieve something, you're not quite sure how to achieve it, and you speak to an agency like us, and we put various elements together to get those results. Many agencies work like this, many work on a project basis, we do a bit of both. You'll find some agencies haven't got a clue what holistic marketing is, some agencies just want to pick up little projects, but we like to work towards results, combining a variety of skills.
Okay, that sounds good to me. So I suppose layman's terms, I think we've got this on the homepage of our website, we say how some agencies work is a potential client calls them and says, I want some Facebook ads. And the agency goes, yeah, all right, then we'll get on with that. Whereas the code break approach is, why do you want Facebook ads? And the answer could be, well, actually, I want to sell more hats. That's the actual end goal. And so, right, our job as we see it is to come up with solutions to sell more hats. And that may include Facebook advertising. To be honest, Facebook advertising is, how many years have I been working now? 25 years, something ancient like that, is probably the most cost-effective form of advertising I've ever come across. So a lot of what we offer to clients can involve Facebook advertising, but not necessarily. So we want to be more proactive than reactive, don't we?
Absolutely. Working with a hat seller, for example, if they said to us, we want to sell more hats, the first question we'd ask is why. So it might be their sales are low, it might be they're not charging enough, it might be that they charge too much. So we need to get down to the nitty-gritty of what it actually is they want to achieve, because guarantee it won't be they want to sell more hats, they'll want to make more money. And so we'll have a look at their campaigns that they currently have, what they're doing for their marketing activity, even going as far as looking at their premises, how their staff behave, and talking to them about, right, what is it you actually want to achieve? Let's get down to the truth, because if we can't start at that point, there's no point working together. And then let's go from there and build out a campaign that's going to work to achieve those goals.
So I remember early on in after start up our business, we went to see a sweet shop, and I remember saying to the lady, you know, what's the average sale? And she said it's a pound, and it's pretty much kids finishing school coming and spending a pound, and there's just so little profit in it. It just couldn't, just almost didn't seem to be like a viable business. So there are some people that our hands are pretty tied, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the holistic marketing approach for that is to make sure that their premises is spot on, it's attracting the right people, it's in the right place, that the staff are friendly and that they understand how pick and mix works. And that's almost as far as it goes, because unless they're selling millions of sweets, they can't afford a campaign that is going to generate the income required to continuously fund it. We talk to clients all the time about how their marketing should be around about 10% of their turnover. That's fine. That means that some people have to do things on a much more modest level than others, but we need to have that level of openness and honesty.
And you mentioned staff a lot, and I think, with a lot of our clients, their staff is the final link in the chain, and come back to that, we're always looking at, right, okay, when the customer wants to buy something, what is the process? And if it is, so someone's spending a fortune on an ad in the paper and the goal is to drive people into their shop. I've been into shops in town that are supposedly struggling. I go in wanting to buy something and the guy behind the till doesn't even look up from his iPhone. So when that shop then closes down a few months later and they're moaning about, oh, it's the parking charges, oh, it's Brexit, oh, my mother-in-law had to lend us some money, it's nothing to do with that. It's that final link in the chain. And before we do any marketing, like I say, you've got to say, right, what happens when the inquiries come in?
Yeah, absolutely. As you know, we had a client in the past where they do interiors, and they asked us to build them a website and run a campaign behind their business to get them inquiries and get them in to draw these interiors and put quotes out. And they said, oh, we're not getting any inquiries. So in the end, we were so sure that they were getting inquiries, we put some tracking on their website to see how many inquiries they were getting per week. Didn't tell us who the inquiries were from or share any personal information, but it did give us some insight. And it turns out they were getting between 5 and 6 inquiries a week. Average inquiry in that kind of industry is 20 grand.
And right, Joel, we're shutting Codebreak. We're moving into interior designs.
We go back to the client and say, well, you are getting inquiries. You're not returning calls. You're not returning emails. And they said, well, how do you know that? And we presented the information. And essentially, it came down to the people that were meant to be doing the quoting weren't that bothered. And so a holistic approach would be to tackle all of these elements.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you really can't give your money away, can you? You leave voicemails, you send emails, and people don't get back to you, and you just have to jump on top of that. And sometimes, I suppose that's why sometimes there'll be mystery shopping involved, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think hopefully that's made it clear what holistic marketing is all about. It really is about, right, why do you want to do this? What's your end goal? And what is the process? And not just getting inquiries, the right sort of inquiries, then obviously converting them. And to a certain extent, yeah, if the salesperson at the end of the phone hasn't been trained well, isn't able to convert, that's, well, unfortunately, out of our hands. But our job is to advise the client of that. Yeah. Not just here to take their money.
I mean, a huge amount of the businesses we deal with wish they could systemize everything so that a purchase is made over the internet. But once you get into certain price points, that's just not the reality. Mm-hmm. People need to talk to someone. They need to talk about the bespoke nature of the product, the customizations. And if the person on the other end of the phone or the person on the live chat or the person replying by email isn't showing enough interest, isn't engaging with that person on that basis, you're kind of wasting your time.
Yeah. And so, I mean, do you think many businesses out there, they know what kind of marketing options or the range of marketing options that are available these days? I mean, I know everyone, you know, obviously everyone knows about Facebook, but I'm surprised that so few business owners know, for example, that the power of Facebook advertising behind it. So I was talking to somebody the other day, and they didn't realise there's an algorithm that's, you know, why am I only seeing stuff from these friends and these businesses rather than others I'm connected to? They didn't know that Facebook's sort of tracking who they're engaging with. And so I think sometimes, because we're immersed in this business, we forget that some people don't really know all that's out there to be taken advantage of.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the amount of times I've said to people about retargeting, just as an example, where you can track people who've already visited your website and advertise to them again. And the reaction to that is usually quite negative. Oh, I looked at some trainers the other day on Amazon and they've been following me all around the internet. That bloody pisses me off. And it's actually, well, they don't know who you are. They're not actually tracking you personally. They just know that that IP address looked at those trainers and now they're following you around because that's good business.
And you've got to take yourself out of the equation.
Yeah.
You might not like it. Does that mean the other 99 out of 100 people won't actually go on to buy those trainers?
Yeah, exactly. Think about buying habits. The amount of time you've got 5 minutes on your lunch and you have a quick look at a holiday and then forget about it. It's a good job that it popped up again in 3 days' time, because otherwise you might have completely forgotten and then you're in trouble when you get home.
As my first boss said to me way back in the 1800s, the worst number in marketing is one. And we see that all the time, don't we? So I mean, what about another example? I know we've come back to sort of talking about Facebook, and we certainly don't use that for every client, do we? Especially business to business, although we more often than not will use Facebook advertising rather than organically. But I mean, a lot of people will be using, whether it's Google ads, Facebook ads, to drive people to a landing page. And that's something that we come across quite a lot, isn't it? The actual condition of, well, I guess, again, we're coming back to that final link in the chain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get heavily involved in websites at our end, but often clients approach us and they've already got a website. And it can be a bit shoddy. The landing pages can be a bit clunky. Perhaps they're not the easiest to navigate. Sometimes they're not even mobile responsive. And then the client says, well, great, you've generated us 1,000 clicks, but nobody's signed up on our landing page. That's a real problem. That's a real down point in the chain. The other issue with that is that a lot of clients see that conversion as once that person inquires on that landing page, where actually the way we approach our marketing is our landing page is for getting people onto our marketing list. That's not the point of conversion. That's almost the first point of contact. That's where we've qualified someone enough that they're interested in what we've got to say, and they're going to receive our marketing materials on an ongoing basis. A lot of the customers we deal with don't get beyond the point of a sign up. They don't do anything with that information once they've got it.
Yes, yeah, database marketing. It's so strange about how many people have a huge database and they don't stay in touch with them. One of our new clients, I think it was over 20,000 emails on a spreadsheet. and they've never got in touch with them. I mean, rather than spending loads of money trying to attract new business, there is so much money to be made from add-ons, upsells, repeat buys, referrals, by contacting the people you already know.
Yeah, I mean, simple things as well. Even for us, the first newsletter we ever sent out, we sent out a free pen and a coaster. It didn't break the bank, but the amount of people that have said to us, oh, I love your pen. And it's our name in front of our clients all year round on something as simple as a pen. And then you've got people saying, well, I've got £1,000 a month, £2,000 a month, £10,000 a month for Facebook ads, with no real reason to why they're doing it. And you just think, well, why not break this process down? Why not simplify it? Let's qualify people first, then start sending them the freebies, then start reminding them about the service. And suddenly, 6 months down the line, you start to see a flow of business that is much better quality of business and a much easier transaction.
Okay. And so I suppose if someone wants Facebook ads only, that's a of course, that isn't holistic marketing. It is a good example of where web design comes into it. If all you want to do is drive people to a page, we probably still wouldn't say just do Facebook ads only. There are so many things you can do to get people to a website. But it's all about working closely with the client. So if you're a business owner and you're dealing with a marketing agency, it has to be about a relationship, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to be honest with our clients to the point where if they approach us and they're selling something at a very high price point, but they look like crap, we need to tell them, because no Facebook campaign, no print campaign, no newspaper campaign in the world is going to solve the fact that when the person finally gets to the point of contact, be the website, the shop, whatever that might be, if they look like crap, that's going to be seriously off-putting for that customer, and that's just the way of the world. So
I imagine we're going to be talking about branding at some point in these podcasts then.
Yeah, exactly. Branding, brand approach, your positioning, all of that feeds into this. You can't polish a turd, basically.
But you can roll it in glitter.
Well, absolutely.
Now, I had a meeting with a bloke a few months ago, and they'd had a starting up a new business. They'd had business cards designed by basically a stationery firm on the high street, and the business card couldn't have been on cheaper paper. The logo couldn't have been more complicated. They were using a photo that I'm pretty sure was infringing upon someone's copyright. And this was a business that was going after premium kind of clients, and yet the second impression, which is often a business card, would just show shoddy, lack of investment. I'm not talking you have to break the bank, but if you're offering a good level of service and a good quality, your marketing needs to reflect that, and that starts with the logo, doesn't it?
Logo, the quality of the business card. Like you say, I wrote a blog yesterday about exactly the same thing. Someone handed me a business card that looked like a piece of tissue paper and then asked me for £4,000 for their time. Doesn't add up.
Wow. But I think unless you have that pointed out to you, you might not know. Like sometimes, you know, from a financial point of view, you know, when our accountant will tell us something, you know, you might think, right, well, you know that, don't you? But I'm so bad on that side of business. No, I need stuff pointing out to me, which is where, again, I guess that relationship comes in with your accountant, bookkeeper, whoever. You need to be having a two-way conversation.
Absolutely. And it completely depends on the marketplace you're in as well. There's plenty of accountants here in Shropshire, where we're based, that deal on their history. So their marketing is all about targeting agriculture, dealing with people on a historical basis. Oh, I worked with your dad, I worked with your granddad, and that's absolutely fine. We can talk to them on that basis. But if they come to us and say, well, we want to work with new tech startups in Birmingham, and then they show us their business cards and it's got pictures of cows on and thin bits of paper, that's not going to cut it. We need to show them how to attack that marketplace, and they need to trust us to show them, right, these are the tools you need, this is what you need to look like, this is the quality of print you're going for, and this is a completely different approach to the approach you've taken before. We're going to hold your hand and help you through that process, but there's a trust element to this transaction where you've got to trust us to do what we're doing and show you that it's working, and we've got to trust you to invest in this and go with it.
Absolutely, yeah, trust, so important. Now, trust needs to be earned, but at some point, you know, you don't pick holes in what your solicitor's saying. You're paying a solicitor because you trust them for their advice. And, well, I don't view accountancy, marketing, anything as any different, really. But like you say, it is gathering that trust, whether it's client testimonials, whether it's, you know, showing them the work that we can do, the initial consultation, the options we give, rather than, well, what this whole podcast is about, rather than trying to steer them down one route. It's giving a choice of options that we think could work best to help people reach their end goals, which generally speaking is to be a more profitable business and to have fun whilst doing it.
Absolutely. Every business we want to work with needs to really have that kind of value, that they probably want to be more successful. Success could be profit, success could be a happier team, it could be more time in their lives, whatever their goals are, and we want to help them achieve it. We've seen that many businesses approach us and say, I need a new website. Well, why do you need a new website? Well, I want to sell more. Well, a new website isn't going to help you sell more. Driving more traffic to a website that's more in line with your audience and more interested in your product might sell more, but a new website on its own won't sell more. Well, plenty of other agencies will quote me on that. Well, we can quote you on it, but I don't think it's going to be the solution to your problem. How about let's look at a 12-month plan where we can look at your website, your branding, your marketing approach, the materials that you need, and actually, by the time you've done all that, it'll be a much better investment than it would have been if we'd have just built you that website you asked for.
Yeah, there we go. Honesty is the best policy. Well, actually, sort of tight. I mean, how are we doing on time on this one? A quarter of an hour, that's not too bad, is it? I mean, it's, I suppose, an introduction to how Cobrate works, that more where we think marketing is going, it isn't just sort of like a pick and mix. It is a total solution. So I guess you see this in a number of industries now where they want to tie you into bundles and stuff like that, and it's if you prefer to deal with one supplier and they can look after your pay-per-click, your Facebook ads, your web design, whatever, then that's great. But it does all have to revolve around gathering that trust. Can you work together, and is that relationship going to be fruitful for both parties?
Yeah, absolutely. It's objective based marketing, so we're not going to provide you tools and expect you to then go and fulfill your own objectives. We're going to look at your objectives and try and provide solutions to achieve that. If that's difficult to understand, it's just about breaking it down and looking at the whole approach. So we can look at your turnover, look at what your marketing budget is, look at what you want to achieve. And before we even do anything, we can tell you whether that's a realistic goal.
Okay, so top tip. We've given loads of tips away, especially about Facebook. Keeps thinking that there are other social media out there, of course. Twitter, just about.
I think a top tip from us would be approach your marketing agency with your end goal in mind and see what they say. That conversation can be a really open and really constructive conversation. And it'll really open your eyes to what's possible, what can be achieved, and what your budget needs to be to do it.
And budget, that's a tough one, isn't it? You do have to invest. And I think a generalisation, but there are sort of two types of business owners, really. Ones that look at marketing as an investment and ones who look at it as an expense. And when the shit hits the fan, like when the last recession kicked in within 3 months, you know, there are businesses whose accountants, the first thing they said, right, you need to cut all your marketing. Whereas generally speaking, the businesses that survived and indeed thrived through recession were the ones that know, you know, we marketed ourselves during the good times. So when the bad times happened, we're okay.
Yeah, we're absolutely protected. I mean, we train our team on exactly what percentage of turnover our marketing budget is, so that moving forward, regardless of how well the business is doing, that percentage remains the same. So we always invest that percentage as a minimum in our marketing.
It's like what our accountant said to us when he was pitching for us. There are two types of accountant: those who work for the client and those who work for HMRC. And I think I'll remember that till the day I die, because my eyes were opened when he said that. Anyway, not here to talk about accountancy. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening.
Yep.
Anything else to say, Joel?
No, just if you have any questions, hit us up in the comments, drop us a line. We'd love to speak to you.
Right. Speak to you soon, see you soon, hear you soon on Spotify, Anchor, other stuff that I don't know.
Yeah, just catch us online.
Yeah, let Emily do it.
All right, take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.